Wickedness is real. Oppression is real. But more real is our victory. For this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God has commissioned Bishop David Oyedepo to preach the word of faith, liberating men everywhere from all oppressions of the devil. Get set for an empowerment that will enable you to rule in the midst of your enemies and subdue them under your feet. Now, Bishop David Oyedepo.
It's not enough to listen to testimonies. It's important for us to understand what each testimony is conveying in order for us to be able to tap into such effect in our own lives. The testimonies this morning carry big lessons, each of them. Someone said he fell into the hands of ungodly people, and that ended him up in a 7-year jail on a matter he knew nothing about. No wonder the Bible said, blessed is he that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the seat of the scornful, nor stand in the ways of sinners, but whose delight is in the law of his God, and upon it he doth meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, whose leaves will never go wither, who will bring forth his fruits in his season, and whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. Hallelujah. We could as well close the meeting there. Because the frustration of most of you in your career is that you have not separated yourself from ungodly men who has kept you perpetually in prison. You are following them to do what they are doing, and so your God turns his back on you, and so you keep suffering the same frustrations with them. Isn't that a big lesson? Isn't that a big lesson? For he that was with the wise shall be wise, and a companion of fools shall be destroyed. If God could restore that man after 7 years of incarceration, wherever you have been shut down because of ungodly company, you are coming out of that today. You are coming out of that today. That man, he said, I'm coming to tell my stories at Shiloh 2005, what my eyes saw when I fell into a wrong camp. Frustration compounded. Miserable life, everything upside down. But God brought him out. Every wrong camp you have found yourself, I see my God bringing you out today. Lord, over to you. Show up this morning. Make yourself manifest today. Again, I'd like to welcome you to this very unique service. And I know that at the end of this service, you'll be practically in command. You believe that? Can I hear your loud amen? Just before I get into the teaching today, you know we said operating by the word. Operating by the word for your desired turnaround. I announced that subject last Sunday. Operating by the word of God for your desired turnaround. Operating by the word for your desired turnaround. And you know what the Bible said? Watch and pray so you don't crash. You had a testimony on telephone today. Somebody called the number and said, blood, blood, blood. And then he began to pass on. He began to pass on. He became stiff. He could not move anymore. He couldn't even reach out his hand to touch his wife. Hey, I'm going. What's happening? And I'm told that has come around town for a long time. And diabolical men pick on numbers. And then as you pick the phone, they say, blood, blood, blood. And then you start vomiting blood. You start stooling blood. And then you are gone. And I've warned you how many times in this world. There are some of you that even when you are praying and your phone rings, you stop the prayer. True or false? There are people here. that their phone is in their hand, that even when they are talking to God and their phone rings, not that there's an emergency they are watching over in any hospital, they pick the phone. They have been imprisoned by this technology. Therefore, you know, he said, watch and pray. Any phone number that you don't know, don't answer. Pick the phone and you don't know the number, you don't answer it. Don't say wrong number. That, you are not a receptionist. Don't say wrong number. Don't answer it. Any phone number, if it says unknown, then let there be unknown response. Now you see, if you haven't heard it, you'll be free. Now that you have heard it, if they call your blood off, that's your problem. Every acid looks like innocent water, isn't it? May you not drink acid in the place of water. Why must you sleep with a phone? Are you a doctor on duty? Why must your phone be ringing and calling you off when you are reading your Bible? Who is looking for you? Should they not know the time you answer phones and the time you don't answer phones? There are people among us here who invest more in telephone than in feeding their family. In Nigeria today, there are jobless people who carry phones. Now you see what I'm talking about. There are people that what they invest on their phone per month is more than their house rent. And now that the devil has decided to engage that technology in trapping people, in killing people, in destroying people, then caution. He said, the righteousness of thy testimony is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live. Psalm 119 and verse 144. Every unknown caller should never have a known response. Someone came down here and he said, for 30 years, the wife had been having pulse coming out of her ears every day. But last Sunday it ended. And what I'm saying is this. Whatever jinx has followed your career, no matter how long it has been, is going off here today. The Covenant Family Day of 2005 is one of our most fiery services in the history of this ministry. And you heard all the testimonies today. Get back to that tape and sit up with it and get uprooted from your family everything that God has not planted. This is crucial. This is vital. Listen to this. That day as I was ministering here, the hand of God was visibly, dangerously upon my life. And the same day, up in our home in Lighthouse, climbing up the stairs and heading off for my bedroom, a big, ugly bird was smitten down dead. Now you see, not on the ground floor, up to the stairs and heading for my bedroom area via the upper sitting room, the big ugly bird, the kind you don't find in town, just at that entrance in the upper room, fell down dead. Now see, fell down dead. That same day, come and say that same day. So I know that I know. Now listen to this. We talk about principalities and powers, rulers of this wicked world, and wicked spirits in high places. But I'd like you to also know that there are princes in the kingdom. There are what? Princes in the kingdom. Now, apostles are kingdom principalities set over territories. Whatever they say in their domain, all principalities and powers bow, all rulers of this wicked world bow, all diabolical forces crumble. Now listen, I said apostles are kingdom principalities set over territories. When they are in their territory, you don't stand their way. You stand their way, you are crushed. Now listen. In 1992, June 29, the Lord ushered me into the apostolic phase of my ministry. He said, I'm launching you into the apostolic phase of your ministry for pace setting. And Paul said, he that is mighty in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same is mighty in me to the apostleship of the Gentiles. Now I'm saying here, he that was mighty in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same is mighty in me to the apostleship of Africa. So whatever I say on this continent representing his kingdom, no devil, no witch, no wizard, no Obonicord can stand it. Now, that same day, the hold of Guru Maharaji on a precious destiny was broken. Hallelujah. So whatever has been taunting your destiny and your career is crashing down today. As a special kingdom envoy, I invoke my apostolic authority for your release today from every satanic captivity in the name of Jesus. Now, the question is not about, it's just God providing a feasible evidence of the wars in the heavenly that is being won on our behalf day in, day out. Can I hear your loud amen? Shout hallelujah. So when you now have a combination of the apostolic and the prophetic calling on a person, the territory becomes a no-go area for demonic forces. That's why I know that today, whatever has kept you down and won't let you go up, won't let you rise, whatever is sitting on your career, on your vocation, is going off you today in the name of Jesus. The untimely death in that family was smashed. That woman came and said, everybody passes on at 40. But when he came here, she saw that a change is possible. And he said, by the knowledge of the word of God, I knew now that it's about my turn, these jails must be crushed. And is it not crushed now? And then she was smitten, and her hands began to swell. He said, just let me get there. Because in the midst of that, he saw me appear in a picture. That is the help of God appearing for her. And when she was going over to the other side in death, he had me, according to her testimony, saying, go back. Go back. You know what that means? I'm in charge here. Go back. Because I'm in charge here. Whatever may have targeted anyone here for death, that arrow returns back to the sender in the name of Jesus. That arrow returns back to the sender in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And the wall of barrier between the family of the same woman was broken. The brother came back and said, let's forget the past. And God brought a powerful reunion for them. What am I talking about? The understanding of his testimony will always reproduce itself. You shall not be found in want anymore. Operating by the word for your desired turn around. Operating by the word for your desired turn around. May I start with this bit of introduction? The rating of any man in his or her career is a function of his skill. A good mechanic will always enjoy good patronage. A good cabinet maker will always enjoy great patronage. A good driver will always enjoy great employment. So skill is crucial in the rating of any man or woman in his career. And I want to let us know this, that Christianity itself is defined as a vocation. Come on, say vocation. Say vocation. So we need to understand the skills of the faith to maximize God's great opportunities that await us there. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul the apostle was writing and he said, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Ephesians 4:1. You walk worthy of the vocation. And he's talking about the faith. The vocation wherewith you are called. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Hold them fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For faithful is he that has promised. Profession. Come and say profession. So, we understand that Christianity itself is a vocation of life. Christianity is a profession of life. And because every profession thrives on skill, it's important for us to know, to learn the skill for making things happen in our profession. It's important to learn the skill for getting great results in our vocation. And you all know that holding a weapon is not a guarantee for victory in battle. But knowing how to use the weapon, having a gun in your hand does not guarantee victory when confronted by assailants. But possessing the required skill and handling that weapon is what guarantees you your desired victory. And it's important for us to know that the word of God is a spiritual weapon. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So, the word of God is a sword of the Spirit. Is a weapon of war. So we need to train in the skill of handling that weapon for effective result. Come and say effective result. For effective results, we need to be able to learn how to handle such weapons. David had in his hand a sling. Someone else may not succeed in killing a lizard with that sling, but David had the required skill to destroy a Goliath, a giant, with that sling. So the effective of a weapon, the effectiveness of a weapon is not determined by the weapon, but by the skill of the handler. Now all the men of war in Israel were fully armed. They had the bows and the spears. They had their bingers in their hands. But they couldn't dare Goliath. But when David came, he said, I've trained with this one. I know how to fling this to get results. God gave me result by destroying the lion and the bear by my hand. I don't have a problem bringing down this giant. So it's all about skill. Come and say skill. It's all about skill. God's word is a weapon of war. And our skill is what determines its effect. Our skill is what determines its effect. Operating by the word for your desired turn around. It is not just quoting scriptures. It is rightly quoting scriptures, right application of scriptures that guarantees results. So it's not so much of the effectiveness of the weapon, but much, much more of the skill of the handler. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 13, the word says, he that uses milk is a babe, and is unskillful in the word of righteousness. Unskillful in the word of righteousness. So it is skill that makes a man in handling the word of God. Come and say skill. It is skill. Having a know-how, possessing a working knowledge of the truth. Possessing a working knowledge of the truth. Possessing a working knowledge of the truth. He that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. For he's a babe. He's unskillful, for he's a babe. And when he's a babe, he's under governors and tutors. He's under taskmasters. He's subjective to situations and circumstances. You remember that in Galatians chapter 4? He's subjective. But authority is placed on the shoulders of the sons. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon the shoulder of the son. The government shall be upon the shoulder of the son. The government shall be upon the shoulder of the son. So it is skill that turns a child into a man. And until you are a man, you are not in charge. So skill is crucial. Skill is very crucial. Remember, Christianity is a vocation. Christianity is a profession. Your skill in handling the weapons of our warfare will determine the kind of results you generate. And our principal weapon of war is the word of God. Come and say the word of God. All the other weapons of our warfare, they are all embedded in the word of God. All of them. All of them. The helmet of salvation. The gospel is the only way to be saved. The word of God. The blessing of righteousness. It is the word of God that guarantees your access in the righteousness of God. The shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The gospel of peace is the word of God. As you speak the word, peace is established. Evil is pushed away. So, learning how to handle the word for your desired turnaround is a compulsory course for every Christian professional. And this morning I'm aware that something unusual is bursting forth in your life. In Psalm 18 and verse 34, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. He teaches my hands to war, so that a bar of steel is broken by my bare hands. I'm able to destroy the indestructible by virtue of the skill I have acquired. Can I hear your amen? Psalm 18 and verse 34. It teaches my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by my hand. When you are adequately trained, you triumph sweatlessly. When you are adequately trained, you triumph sweatlessly. When you are adequately trained, you triumph sweatlessly. And that's what we are about this morning. Also, you remember the story of those worthless individuals, as it were, in 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verses 2 and 3, and said a crop of boys who were worthless, who were indebted, who were frustrated, gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them. They were what we call in Lagos area boys. They were people sleeping under the bridges. They gathered themselves unto David, and he became a captain over them, about 400 of them. And the Bible says concerning them in chapter 23 of 2 Samuel and verse 8, that these be the names of the mighty men of David. Worthless men in 1 Samuel 22 have been turned into mighty men because they were trained and given the required skill to excel. And when you read that whole chapter 23 of 2 Samuel, you see how mighty these men were. They were no mere warriors. They were spectacular warriors. They were unusual warriors. They were individuals you can't ignore in battle. Because they trained under a captain. They trained under a captain and their story changed. I see someone experiencing a dramatic change of story today. He said, therefore, study. Go for training. Train up as a workman that will not be ashamed and rightly dividing the word of truth. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my hand. Teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my hands. I've given you 7 powerful keys in operating the word for your desired victory. 7 powerful principles that you engage in operating the word for your desired turn around. Can I hear your loud amen? The first principle is get hold of the right word. Get hold of the right word. My son, eat thou honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. And when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Proverbs 24 and verses 13 and 14. My son, eat thou honey, for it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of the truth, he calls it wisdom in that version, be unto thy soul. And when thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Not just finding the word, but finding the right word. Not just finding the word, but finding the right word. Engaging the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your search. Holy Spirit, there must be a way out here. And he will teach you all things. And bring to your remembrance all things whatsoever you have heard of him. Finding the right word. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Finding the right word. My people have gone into captivity because they have no knowledge. Finding the right word. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. And then Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 13. Finding the right word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Finding the right word is where your victory begins. Because every act of God is in confirmation of the word you have found. Every act of God is a confirmation of the word you have found. And God was walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. God was walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. So God is only committed to confirm the word. So until you have found the word, God has nothing to confirm. So your victory and my victory in life begins with finding the right word. Finding the right word. Finding the right word. Now you are in your various businesses and in your various careers and vocations where your daily bread is provided. Is God committed to your getting results? Oh yeah. How? What has he said to commit himself to your success? The young lions suffer want and hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. So whatever is good is your right. So as one that seeks the Lord, success is your right. Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? Seest thou a man that is diligent in his business shall stand before kings, shall not stand before me, man. So if you are doing your job as expected, investing your time, energy, and resources towards getting your desired results, God is committed to give you a story. Can I hear your loud amen? Yeah. And what more, you are in the covenant with him. And the covenant makes God, it commits God to deliver. The covenant commits God to deliver. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish to you the covenant that is found to thy father as it is this day. So when you are in the covenant of prosperity, whatever you do is designed to prosper. He said, whatsoever he doeth, he shall prosper. So in our church, we have prosperous people in all spheres of life. Barbers, you know, tailors, you know, every kind of field. Carpenters, prosperous people who are prospered by the covenant. So God is committed to your prosperity when you are a practitioner of the covenant. Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? He said, let them shout for joy that favor is righteous cause. Let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. We take pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. So God takes pleasure in your prosperity. When you favor his righteous cause, when you are a covenant keeper, God takes pleasure in your prosperity. God delights in your prosperity. God delights in your successful living. God delights in your excelling in your career. Can I hear your loud amen? So get hold of the right word. And number two step is release your faith. Don't assume that you believe what you have found. Consciously let what you have found be mixed with faith inside you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. The gospel was preached to us, the same that was preached to them, but did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that had it. So you hear the word, and then you let it be mixed with faith in you. Don't assume that you believe what you have heard. Consciously mix what you have heard with faith on your inside. Don't mistake your mental assent for faith. With the heart, man believeth, not with the head. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So you let it be mixed with faith consciously in you. So what you have heard, you ponder it in your heart until faith is secreted to absorb it. It's a process of meditation. It has dropped. Now you are pondering it, you are pounding it, you are grinding it, and you are mixing it with faith. You are secreting faith from within you to mix with that word to deliver your expected product. Can I hear your loud amen? You mix it with faith. Now let me say this to you, that it is understanding that breeds faith. Come and say understanding. Because understanding simply means being able to see what God is saying. And that comes through a process of meditation. And you come to a point, oh, I see. God takes pleasure in my prosperity when I favor his righteous cause. God takes pleasure. God is not against my prosperity. God is for my prosperity. And then faith rises in your heart. And when faith rises, you're on your way to victory. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? Amen? That's what it takes. There is always a way out. There is always a way out, no matter the challenge in your life. He said, no temptation is ever come to you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted beyond what you can deal with. And in the same temptation, he will provide the way of escape that may be able to handle it. So it is not an impossible case you are confronted with. For with God, nothing shall be what? Impossible. And if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So faith is the answer to all seeming impossibilities of your life. Faith is the answer. Mark 9:23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So, you release your faith. And when you release your faith, it changes your status spiritually. You are now operating in the heavenlies. Get hold of the right word. Consciously release your faith. Don't assume it. Consciously cultivate the required faith. And then number three, present your case. Present your case. How? He said, put ye me in remembrance. Isaiah 43 verse 26. Come and let us plead together. Declare now that thou mayest be justified. Isaiah 43 and verse 26. Declare now that thou mayest be justified. So you stand up on the altar of prayer. Lord, this is what you have said, and I believe it, and it's contrary to what is happening. Show up, Lord. Set forth your hand at this time and confirm your word in my life. Isaiah 41 and verse 21, he said, produce your cause. Bring forth your strong reasons, hear the Lord. Produce your cause and bring forth your strong reasons, hear the Lord. Produce your cause and bring forth your strong reasons, hear the Lord. So you present your case. Kenneth Copeland told the story of a cotton farmer who had a challenge, and his cottons, the buds refused to open up at the time it should. And if it didn't open up before that time was over, then the entire plantation would be ruined and destroyed. And the man came to Copeland, and Copeland said to him, take the stump of your checks for your tithes and go and spread it on the field and say to God, confirm your word. And this man took his checkbook that he uses for his tithe and spread it before heaven on the field and said, Lord, confirm your word. You will destroy the devourers for my sake. Now destroy the devourers according to your word. And the following day, the cotton bud opened their teeth and all the white came out. Can I hear your loud amen? He said, you have not because you ask not. James chapter 4 and verse 2. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss. And how do you not ask amiss? You ask aright by asking according to his word. 1 John 5:14. For this is the confidence that we have in him, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. So you are going back again to step number one. Get hold of the right word. Get hold of the right word. Prove me now, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and rebuke the devourers for your sake. And rebuke the devourers for your sake. So you present your case in prayer. You are not challenging God, you are challenging the opposition. You are not murmuring against God, you are reminding God of his word, contrary to the happiness. So there can be a change of story. God is not the reason behind your stagnation and frustration. God is eager to get you out of it. He said, a man sowed good seed in his field, and while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tears. And he said, Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? Why is it grown tears? He said, an enemy has done this. And so you go find what God has done to prove that what is happening is not God who is doing it. Then you believe it, and then you present your case. This is not what you have done. This is what the enemy has done. And you have said, whatever thing your heavenly Father has not planted, it shall be uprooted. Therefore, I'm standing here today. Lord, I decree the uprooting of these negative experiences in my career, in my business today. That's how to do it. Unfortunately, in presenting our case, all we are busy doing is complaining to God. See, Lord, I have been in this commission now the last 5 years. Somebody came last December and sharing testimony. See me. In fact, that man who shared testimony, I was the one who brought him to church. Now you pass me by and you now go and help him. And he said, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. So every time you go to God murmuring, you are turning God's back on yourself and offering yourself freely to the destroyer. Everything that murmurs in you, I command them to be uprooted today in the name of Jesus. God is not to blame for where you and I may find ourselves. God is our only way out of where we are to where we should be. We can't begin to insult our helper and still expect to get help from him. An enemy has done this. And is God your enemy? Whatever the enemy is therefore doing in your career, today is the end of it. I said today is the end of it. Present your case. And number four, address the situation. Address the situation. If you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, Mark 11:23, and shall not doubt in your heart, but shall believe that those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Address the situation. I have found the right word. I have consciously released my faith. I have presented my case. And because God cannot deny himself, if I prayed according to his word, then he has answered me. You know what that my son said here when he came to share his testimony? I said, it is only our duty to declare the word. It is God's responsibility to confirm it. There is no prophet who can confirm his own words. It is God who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers. Ours is to declare, God's own is to confirm. And if we are faithful to our part, God can't turn his back on us in confirming his word. So God's word concerning your turnaround this year, no devil can stop it. So with the confidence that God has heard you and has answered you, you now look at that mountain and say, business, you cannot remain stagnated anymore. I speak now to all stagnating forces that are working on this business. Take off your hand. I have been justified by God for great success. Therefore, I come against you now. Take off your hand and go in the name of Jesus. Now see, you are speaking to the mountains. God won't speak to the mountains, and the mountains won't move until you speak to it. So, we are too used to talking only to God. And the mountain keeps staring at us. Because until the strangers hear, they shall not obey. So you speak to the strangers, enough! Enough is enough! I'm a covenant child of God. God is committed to the prosperity of the works of my hand. I'm a covenant child of God. When I plant vineyard, I will drink of the wine thereof. I shall not build another one, dwell in it. I shall eat the fruits of my labor. I belong to the covenant that forbids failure. Therefore, all agents of failure from hell that is harassing this business, I speak to you now, take off your hand. Now you see, you are addressing the situation. You are speaking to the mountains. We have learned so much on how to speak to God, but the mountain won't move until we speak to it. So that jinx that's following your business, you say, enough! Enough is enough. If God be for me, who can be against me? I'm a covenant child. God is for me. You cannot be against me. It is written. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So your work is not permitted to flourish where I live and with what I do. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, take off your hand. You have spoken to God long enough. Now address the situation. Speak to that mountain, and the mountain will move. Can I hear your loud amen? Can I hear your loud amen? The strangers will not move until they hear you. But when they hear you, they will have no choice but give way to you. Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen.
Psalm 18 and verse 43. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people, and thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. Verse 44. As soon as they hear me, what happens? They shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fall away and be afraid out of their close places. You remember one time when some robbers came out there on the road and attempted to molest a few of the saints of God in this assembly? And I stood on this altar and I said, they are all dead men. How many remember that day? Yeah. Under 24 hours, only one remained to tell the story. One of them, we are told, no gunshot, no nothing. He leaned on a tree like this and crashed. Because the mountain was addressed, the strangers had no choice but give up. You will never hear again that any stranger came on the highway to harass any of you. Can I hear your loudest amen if you are there? So you address the situation. He said, behold, I give to you a mouth and wisdom that none of your adversaries can resist nor gainsay. They can't mock it when you declare it. So you go ahead and speak to your adversaries. You speak to the enemy that is sitting on God's turnaround agenda for your life this year. No, enough is enough. Enough is enough. I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant, that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And then they surrender to you. Luke 21 and verse 15. Now number 5, after addressing the situation, then you declare your victory. Come and say declare. You declare your victory. You have spoken to God, and number 3, you have spoken to the forces that are resisting your breakthroughs, and now you are declaring your victory. Speaking those things that be not as though they were. Can I hear your loud amen? Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Whatever is too big for your mouth is too big for your hand. Whatever is too big for your mouth is too big for your hand. And what is in your mouth is a function of what is in your mind. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Matthew 12 and verse 37. So we can say, therefore, whatever is too big for your mind is too big for your mouth. And whatever is too big for your mouth is too big for your hand. For he shall have whatsoever he says. He shall have whatsoever he says. Mark 11:23. And shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things that says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. So whatever is too big for your mind is too big for your mouth. And whatever is too big for your mouth is too big for your hand. Because life and death are in the power of the tongue. And Numbers chapter 14 says, as you have spoken to my ears, even so will I do unto you. They say, no, we can't enter that land. Numbers 14:28. The people are giants there. No one succeeds in Nigeria. My profession has no future in Nigeria. If you don't know anybody in Nigeria, nothing works. This is Nigeria. This is no church. And he keeps saying it after praying, after finding the word, but he keeps talking off the answers. Nothing works in Nigeria except you know somebody. You don't know anybody, nothing works. They said in his ears, we are not able to enter the land. There are giants in the land. Even the land eats up its inhabitants. And God said, as you have spoken in my ears, even though so will I do unto you, your carcasses will fall in this wilderness. So there are people who may never succeed because of the things they say. Who may never succeed. You may say that in your bedroom with your wife. Look, my wife, let me tell you the truth. You know in our church we don't talk negative. But let me pour my heart to you. And nothing is working. Nothing is working practically. That is, because you are one flesh with me, I must tell you, nothing is working. From January, February, things are worse than last year. Is this life? Now, you see what I'm talking about. Now, hear this. This vision came in 24 years ago. I have never uttered to any mortal man, neither have I spoken to myself, contrary to the things that I believe. When we are going to move into this place, a week to the time, we still needed 174 million more to go. It was not even announced to any of you. Have you ever got on this platform and hear a concern? That you see the projects, that place, you know, you need to wake up, things are not working. My mouth can't utter that things are not working. That's why things are working. No pressure, because you have been trained on how to move the hand of God. Caution. Caution. Your turnaround this year is confirmed. All you need is to take spiritual responsibility to match. You must accept spiritual responsibility to match, because life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. All the years of our marriage, my wife has never heard me say once. You see the way things are. We can't really tell what next to do. We don't even know which way to turn. Not once. Because to whom you say it is not as important as saying it. Everything you say, the angels speak it to effect it. He said, be careful. Let not your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before an angel, it is an error. Or why should God be angry with you and destroy the works of your hand? So careless talks has destroyed many great destinies in business. Careless talks. They become Nigerian in their approach. Careless talks. In 1987, a man walked up to me after one meeting in the United States and said, oh, Brother David, what a blessing today. What needs have you in your ministry? I said, well, our ministry has no needs. Our ministry has no needs. 1987. Our ministry has no needs. That's why we are not a needy ministry up till now. And they say, what needs have you? Then I started listening. They have registered in the camp of the needy. Our ministry has no needs. And today, the same America look to us as an example of the reality of supernatural abundance. Amen. Last week or so, 2 weeks ago, there was a 30-minute documentary run on Discovery, you know, Channel on this ministry. You see, what? God created the world by his words. So your world is created by the words you speak. Caution. Why should God be angry with you and destroy the works of your hand? Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. Let not your mouth cause your flesh to sin. Neither say thou before an angel it was an error. Or why should God be angry with you and destroy the works of your hand? and destroy the works of your hand. Declare your victory. Whosoever desires life and wants to see many days, let him keep his mouth from speaking evil and his tongue from speaking guile. If you want to see many days, want to enjoy good, Psalm 34 and verses 12 and 13. If you want to see, enjoy good and see many days, keep your mouth from speaking guile. Stop making costly jokes about life. Angels don't know jokes. Anything you say, they pick it. They're your messengers. If you are feeling hot and you say, bring me hot tea to your messenger, what will he bring you? Bring me hot tea. And then you can say, I'm just joking. You are not joking. I heard you say hot tea. My job is to serve you. Anything you say, I'm to deliver it. So the angels are to serve you. If you are feeling cold and you are shivering, he said, bring me, frozen cold water. What will he do? Can I hear your loud amen? Tell your neighbor your angel is listening. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Angels are listening. Angels are listening. Number 6. You demonstrate your victory. You demonstrate your victory. For God is a God of knowledge by whom actions are weighed. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. God weighs actions in determining his manifestations. Show me your faith without your action, and I'll show you my faith by my action. Faith without action is dead. Just like a man without the Spirit is dead. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. God is a God of knowledge by whom actions are weighed. God weighs our actions to determine his intervention. When our actions contrary to our faith, it stops God from manifesting his glory. We are told here in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse 14, after Hannah prayed, she stood up and ate bread, and her countenance was no more sad. 1 Samuel 1:18. She stood up and ate bread, and her countenance was no more sad. And God visited Hannah. You are going to experience an unusual visitation in your business. You are going to experience an unusual visitation in your career. Operating the word for your desired turnaround. Operating by the word for your desired turnaround. Operating the word for your desired turnaround. It calls for appropriate and positive action. Your action must be in line with what you claim to believe, or that will place a check on his intervention in your life. She stood up and ate bread, and her countenance was no more sad. Jesus was going to feed 5,000, and he employed this principle. Make them sit down in 50s. Food has not come. And he says, as he said, they should sit down, and there was much grass in the place. How? In the desert? As he said to sit down, grass grew to give them the comfort required in eating their food. And then he said, Father, I thank you because you hear me always. The action has set the stage for divine manifestation. That action already set the stage for supernatural manifestations. So stop carrying long faces so your journey does not become longer. Stop carrying long faces. Get up in the morning brighter than ever before, because you know it is the day the Lord has made, and you will rejoice and be glad in it. You believe that every day is a plus on the previous. So you got up in the morning fully dressed and fully charged to deliver results. Can I hear your amen? For God is a God of knowledge by whom actions are weighed. If my action does not tally with my faith, it nullifies the effect of my faith. Show me your faith without your actions, and I'll show you my faith by my actions. I show you my faith by my actions. I show you my faith by my actions. Can I hear your loud amen?
Amen.
Let me hear your loudest amen.
Amen.
And finally, number 7, refuse to quit. Refuse to quit. If a door must open, what do? You keep knocking and knocking until the door is open. So the knocking stops when the door is open. The knocking stops when the door is open. And shall God not avenge his elect that calls upon him night and day? He said, I tell you, he will avenge them speedily. You keep knocking until the door is open. But I tell you by the word of the Lord, the door for your desire turnaround has no choice but open to you today. I said that door for your long awaited turnaround has no choice but open to you today. I invoke the apostolic authority vested on me in this territory to decree your release in the name of Jesus. In Luke chapter 11 and verse 22 and 23, he said, when a strong man keeps his goods, fully armed, keeps his goods, he said his goods are in safety. But when a stronger than him shall come upon him, hallelujah, he shall take away from him the armor in which he trusts, and he will spoil his goods. There are principalities in the kingdom of hell, but there are princes in the kingdom of God. You remember what God said to Jacob. He said, as a prince, thou hast power with God and with man and hast prevailed. So every kingdom prince, call them kingdom principalities. Every kingdom principality normally prevails in their territory. And as one sent as his messenger for the hour on this continent, I speak to all the hold of all principalities and powers on your destiny. Outside even your business, your family life, your destiny as a whole, whatever force is holding you down, I speak as the stronger one sent at this hour to decree your unconditional release in the name of Jesus. God called me and sent me as a prophet to the nations. And I remember I was in that little room on the 4th of October 1981. And God said, I've placed you in the office of a prophet. And I know that by a prophet, the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt. And by a prophet were they preserved. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever represents Egypt around your destiny, I command your release from it now in the name of Jesus. I command your release from that situation now in the name of Jesus. All they did in Egypt was to labor and labor and labor. And they had nothing to show for their labor. Oh yes, they were under the torture of the taskmasters. They worked from morning till night. But they had no hope. There was no substance. They had no treasure. But then came the prophet that God sent. And overnight, there was a change of story. I said, overnight, there was a change of story. There was a dramatic transfer of the wealth of Egypt to those who have labored for 400 years. This same hour, I speak as one of those prophets sent for such a time like this, to decree your dramatic change of story today. So you keep knocking and knocking until the door is open. When you stop knocking before the door is open, the door remains locked. You keep knocking. But I assure you, as that one agent from heaven at such a time like this, as soon as we declare Easter, every grave becomes practically open. You are stepping into the month of April as a new breed. And I challenge all principalities and powers, and every name that is named, and every dominion, whatever person is under the umbrella of this commission, you have no power over them again in the name of Jesus. Everyone under the spell of stagnation and frustration is released now in the name of Jesus. Every jinx of failure is uprooted now in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. So shall it be. So after getting to number 7, you start all over from number 1. Ban the word. This is what he says. God, be reminded, because your word cannot fail. Satan, I've said it, enough is enough. You have no part or lot in this place. I'm seated in heavenly places where there is no room found for you. There is no more room found for you. You may fight in heaven, but you are not permitted to prevail. Therefore, I prevail as a prince over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Did you understand that now? That is handling the word of God to effect your desired turn around. Is someone excited here? You are returning home today a kingdom giant in your career. You are returning home today a kingdom giant in your vocation. You are moving out from this apostolic ground today to generate apostolic order of results in your career. Amen. Amen. After Moses walked away from that place, he became unstoppable, he became unmolestable, he became irresistible. On marching out of this apostolic ground today, apostolic authority becomes vested on your life. In the name of Jesus. You will not have any evil report in your direction coming from any source this year in the name of Jesus. Everywhere this commission got into, it is unstoppable. And because you are a part of this commission, wherever you step into today in your career is declared unstoppable. Everywhere we step into, the gates lift up their heads. Therefore, because you belong to this prophetic family, every door that has hitherto been shut against your business and career, I decree it be reopened to you today. So shall it be. He said, take your sandals off your feet, for the place where thou art is a holy ground. As you march out of here today, whatever could not stop this commission will never succeed to stop you. Whatever could not stop this commission will never be able to stop you anymore. Begin to prophesy your unstoppable breakthrough right now. Begin to prophesy your unstoppable breakthrough from now. I shall stand on this apostolic ground. I tap into that apostolic seal for unstoppable supernatural breakthroughs on every side in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Lift up your points of contact now before the Lord. Moses left the presence of the Lord, stepped into Egypt. No one could look at his face. His mission was accomplished unhindered. Therefore, in the name of Jesus Christ, as you depart from this apostolic ground today, begin to command apostolic order of breakthroughs in your pursuit. Whatever could not stop Moses in Egypt before Pharaoh will not be able to stop your accomplishing God's agenda for your turnaround this year in the name of Jesus. Moses stepped into Egypt. All principalities, all powers, all rulers of this wicked world and wicked spirits in high places gave up on him. As you step out of here, every force either to holding you down, holding your business down, holding your career down, I see them broken up in the name of Jesus. Therefore, from this day, stagnation will no longer be measured with your business. Frustration will no longer be identified with you. I bless the works of your hand today in the name of Jesus. Because you are a covenant practitioner, I decree an open heaven over the works of your hand today in the name of Jesus. Because you are a covenant practitioner, I command every devourer to be rebuked on your behalf in the name of Jesus. I release the breakthrough anointing that's upon this commission, upon your life and the works of your hand today in the name of Jesus. Whatever force that won't let you go, I decree that they go down for you in the name of Jesus. Within the next 3 months, your breakthrough stories will become classical news. Within 3 months, everywhere they have pitied you, they will start to begin to envy you. In the name of Jesus. Signs are the seeds of apostleship. He said the signs of an apostle have been wrought in your midst in all patience. I decree that the signs of an apostle, the apostolic signs, become the order of the day in your life and in your pursuit in the name of Jesus. So shall it be. In Jesus' name. Every plague of joblessness is averted today. Every plague of joblessness is destroyed today. Every barrier between you and God's agenda of turnaround for your life is broken down today. No one that came sick into this service is permitted to return sick back to his house. In the name of Jesus. 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 For 24 years running, this ministry is yet to record a better last year. So the anointing for continuous and unending breakthroughs is released upon the works of your hand today in the name of Jesus. The favor that brought a supernatural turnaround for Israel in Egypt overnight, I decree that order of favor upon your life today in the name of Jesus. The battle is over. The victory has finally come. Your desires are now turning to testimony. In the name of Jesus. Wave those items to the Lord in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Victory has come. Victory has come. Victory has come. In Jesus' precious name. Every day remaining this year will be good news days for you in the name of Jesus. Every jobless person, before this resurrection week comes in, your miracle job is in your hand. Every troubled family, you will not find that trouble when you arrive home from service today. Every issue of concern in your life, as you depart from this apostolic ground, you enjoy apostolic breakthroughs in the name of Jesus. And finally, this is an exciting giving church. And I stand today as your pastor, and I release every covenant blessings that goes along with the giving covenant upon your life, upon your family, upon your children, upon your wife, in the name of Jesus. Givers are not permitted to be sick. He said he will make your bed in sickness. So sickness will not be mentioned with any member of your family this year in the name of Jesus. Every planter of seed shall long enjoy the work of his hand. Your life shall not be terminated midway in the name of Jesus. Every fringe benefit of this covenant, I release it upon you in the name of Jesus. He said, prove me now. If I will not open you the windows of heaven, I decree an open heaven over every family, over every man, over every woman, over every boy, over every girl. Whatever blessing that is lacking in your life, under that open heaven, I command them to be delivered in the name of Jesus. Between now and the resurrection service of Easter, next Sunday, you are returning with a resurrection order of testimony. This week shall be your greatest business week ever. This week shall be your greatest breakthrough ever. In the precious name of Jesus Christ.
Bishop David Oyedepo has just placed in your hands the key to all-round victory, exploits, success, and unquestionable dominion over all life's challenges. The end has come to all your struggles in Jesus' name. Please share your testimony with us. Write Bishop David Oyedepo, 21688, Ikeja, Lagos, Nigeria. Or call 817-9670, 817-9671, 817-9672, 817-9673, and 817-9674. Or send your testimony through the email bishop@winnerskinandland.org. And best of all, come hear the man of God live as you worship with us at Faith Tabernacle, Kenan Land, Kilometer 10, Idiroko Road, Otta. On Wednesday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. On Sunday, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. God bless you.